We can turn in our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll take a look at the woman with an issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, when you get there, if you don't mind standing, Mark chapter 5. We're going to start out in verse 22 here today. Mark 5:22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you today, Lord, and ask for your blessing upon your word, Lord. I pray for everybody here that's going to be preaching today, Lord God, that you would speak through us, Lord. Give us the words to preach, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this woman with an issue of blood, and going to be honest with you, it's probably not the first miracle that you think of when you think of the miracles of Jesus Christ. But there is a great miracle here, and a couple of things that I want to talk about first before getting into the message here is what is a miracle and why did Jesus perform these miracles? Well, we know a miracle is something of a profound divine nature, a wonder, a marvel, if you will. And these miracles were performed because the Jews required a sign. And that's these signs and miracles were to be so that the Jews would believe on Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior. Amen. And that's why we have these. And there's a number of miracles in the Bible, and there's a number of points that Jesus makes makes mention of so that we can believe on him and so that the people of this time, the Jews, would believe that he is their Messiah and that he has come to save them. Now, of course, we know many rejected him, but many also followed him. Amen. And this woman with an issue of blood, it's remarkable because Jesus makes mention of it separately. He's on his way to heal a daughter, Jairus' daughter. He's on his way to perform another miracle, but he stops and he makes mention of this miracle. Amen. So that's why we have these miracles, and praise God today that we have the blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection to believe on him today. Amen. The faith that we have needs to be very strong in order to believe in things that we can't see and believe in the Word of God. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So the woman with an issue of blood, I want to jump over to Leviticus first here, Leviticus chapter 15, just to look at this unclean issue of blood first, just to explain it a little bit so we can understand what the Old Testament law says about it. Leviticus chapter 15. Look in verse 19. And if a woman have an issue of blood, have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean, and whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until even. And if any man lieth with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things that shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even, but if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. After that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take her two turtles and her two young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall she separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, the man, and of the woman, and him that lieth with her that is unclean. So we see here in Leviticus, and this is the Old Testament law, that an issue of blood will makes you unclean. And you can't touch anything, and you can't be around people. You have to be separated. And the Lord tells Moses here that he does not want the children of Israel to die in their uncleanness. Well, I don't want to get too much on the law today because we have Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Amen. So we don't have to worry about the law anymore. We're under Jesus. We're under the doctrine of Christ. We're under his blood. Amen. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again the 3rd day, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Amen. This is a remarkable thing because when we get back in here into the women with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, we understand that she understands what the Jewish law says. She fears and trembles before the Lord. She understands what she has done by touching him. And she also, and it's the virtue of Jesus Christ that cleanses her and makes her whole again. Amen. So let's go through this here. Let's walk through Mark chapter 5, and we'll look at a few things, and then we'll realize the application today for us. Amen. In verse 24, it makes point here to say, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." I've thought about this a lot. There's a lot of people when Jesus walked through these towns, and the multitude pressing on him and touching him and wanting to see this man, Jesus Christ, and what he's all about. But why does Jesus Christ make mention of this woman with an issue of blood? It's separate from the Bible. It's in three of the Gospels here. Why does he make mention of it? Well, first of all, it's for our benefit. When Jesus speaks of certain things and points certain things out in the Bible, it's for our benefit. There's an application that we can take from it today. And in this sense, there's a woman with an issue of blood. She's unclean. She comes to Jesus. She touches him. She realizes that she's healed. She goes in peace. When we get saved, when we believe on the blood, when we believe on Jesus and are cleansed by his blood, we too come before him humble. We too come away with a stronger faith, and we too go in peace. Amen. So that's a practical application here. So many people touched him, but he points this woman out. In verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." We understand now that issue of blood means that you are unclean. You're not to touch anything. I mean, if you knew you were unclean, would you go up and touch the Lord? Would you go up and touch the hem of his garment? How much fear would you have knowing this, you know, if we had the Lord in our presence today? I don't know if many of us would. Verse 26. Take a little bit on this. And he suffered many things and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When you put your faith or hope in something of this world, in a physician of this world, in a doctor of this world, you're going to suffer a lot of things. You're going to go through a lot of diagnoses. You're going to be diagnosed after diagnosis after diagnosis. You might not be healed. You might be healed. The doctor's guessing. He doesn't even know. You know, he gets paid a lot of money to heal you, but he can't do it, really. He gives you a bunch of medication. There's many things that you suffer, right? And there's many, many things that we go to in this world for try to get comfort, try to get healing, try to get peace, and it all is for nothing. It doesn't return us anything. We just end up right in the back in the same position, trying to be healed, trying to get this peace, trying to just go on with our life. And and when we suffer the many things of many physicians, when we throw a lot of money at things, when we throw a lot of all that we have at things in stuff that can't heal us, can't help us, we end up, again, with nothing. We end up hurting even more. We end up growing worse. We end up getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Well, today, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you're gonna. If you don't believe in His word, you don't believe in His doctrine, you don't believe the gospel that He died and was buried and rose again the third day. If you don't believe in that, you don't believe in Jesus Christ to save you, amen. You don't believe in that His blood can cleanse you from all sin, amen. Then you're gonna be throwing things at physicians to help you. You're gonna be throwing things at different things in this world to provide that relief that you're looking for. A lot of people throw themselves into their jobs. They think if they just bury themselves in work, all the other stuff in their life, their problems are going to go away. All right? They throw themselves into drugs, and they think that if they take all these drugs, they'll feel comforted and peaceful, but it doesn't go away. You know, or they'll throw money at things and stuff and buy material possessions, but it doesn't get them anything. It doesn't help them. It doesn't heal them. Amen. You have to come to Jesus Christ. You have to realize that it's your faith in Jesus Christ which is going to heal you and make you whole. You have to realize that it's your faith in Jesus Christ and it's His blood that cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And this woman with an issue of blood realized all these 12 years that she's going after physicians and going after all these things, that she realizes that she needs something more. She needs a better hope. She needs something to have a faith in, something that can truly heal her. Amen. So we suffer many things in this life. We throw much money and many riches at a lot of things in this life, and we understand that it gets us nothing. It gets us nowhere. Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 5 real quick. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We don't need physical doctors in this life to heal us of something. Now, don't take that as I don't believe in doctors, okay? Doctors are there for certain purposes. If you need to go see them, there's certain things that they can help you with. But if you're looking for an eternal hope and eternal glory and spending eternal life with Jesus Christ, you need to long after what we know as the great physician. He's the great healer. He performs these miracles. Amen. No doctor is going to perform a miracle. If a little baby's sick and gets healed, that's because of Jesus Christ. These little ones are His children. Amen. All right, we don't put our faith in man. We can't rely on our faith in men or even go there. Amen. We need to understand that we need to put our faith in the great physician. We need to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And not trust the men of this world to cleanse us from sin. Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, amen, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the great healer, amen. Verse 27 here in Mark chapter 5, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, and I believe in Luke it says, but if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. This to me, and I believe this, shows a humble hope that this woman had. She had a humble hope. When we come to the Lord, we need to be humble. Amen. We have a couple of humble men right here, as the brother Paco pointed out. Amen. The most humble right here. If you're not up front, you're not humble. But you need to come to the Lord with a humble hope. If you don't come on your hands and knees to God, you don't believe in him. You don't come with your chest pumped out and your head all big and puffed out with pride and saying, I'm going to check you out, but I don't really need you. No, you're going to come to the Lord on your hands and knees, crying, bloodied up, a sinner, saying, Lord, I need your help. I need you to save me. I need your precious blood to cleanse me from all sin. This woman here, she comes to Jesus. She recognizes what this issue of blood is. She understands that anything she touches is unclean. Amen. But when the Lord comes by her, when she's pressing through the people here, and she just touches that just a little piece. It could have been just a little string. And she's made whole. And she's made whole. So she's heard of Jesus. She comes to him to touch the hem of his garment. And she believes that she would be made whole. I want to look at some verses here today on a humble hope. First, go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Folks, if you don't come to the Lord humble and understanding that you need him, you'll never understand or be able to get saved. Your pride will get in the way. Your sin will, you'll still be overcome by sin. Let Jesus take care of these things for you. We need to be humble in our hope. And the hope that we look towards, amen, is that eternal hope of eternal life with him, amen. There's two outcomes in your life. The wages of sin is death, and you can stop there, or you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Luke chapter 18 here, and let's look at verse 9. Start out in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, and I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm going to stop there for a second. That sounds like a lot of men in the world today. That sounds like a lot of people in the world today. Lord, I do this. I fast twice a week. I give my tithe. I do this. I do that. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. They're not looking to Jesus. They're looking to themselves to make themselves look good before the Lord. That's not faith in God. That's not coming humble. That's not having a humble hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's being prideful. And we know that when you have pride, you're going to fall. Amen. Pride cometh before a fall. Let's look at this publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how we ought to pray, too. When you come before the Lord, you say, God, be merciful be merciful to me because I am a sinner. Amen. You need to come before the Lord and recognize, and that's even after you're saved, folks. When you get saved and you're going to God in prayer seeking forgiveness of your sin, which happens every day, you need to say, God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. He has an abundance of mercy. He has an abundance of grace. You need to recognize that's humility. That's humility. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we understand with this woman with an issue of blood, she understood what being humble meant. Even if she wasn't thinking about it at the time, all she was thinking about, I need to be healed of this, and this man, Jesus, that I've heard of, I'm going to put my stock in him, I'm going to put my hope in him, I'm going to put my faith in him, and I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be made whole. That's probably the extent of what she's thinking, because she's been dealing with this for 12 years and nobody's been able to help her. And she's heard of Jesus performing these healings and miracles, and she says, and she just swipes the hem of his garment. And we'll get to the point where she's made whole. But I want to make a point about humility and hope. John 3:16. We should know this verse. You should memorize this verse. You should recognize this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the hope that we look for in this life. Amen. We look to Jesus to save us so that we can have eternal life. Amen. So he starts out with humility, coming to the Lord, God, be merciful upon me, I'm a sinner. And God will lift you up, God will exalt you, God will take that sin from you. Amen. You have to look to him in humility, but you have to understand the hope that you're longing for, and that's eternal life, that's salvation, and that's heaven. Amen. You don't want to sit here and hope for hell. If you're living your life a sinner, not looking to Jesus, not having faith in Jesus, that's your only hope, is hell. It's pretty sad. It's very sad. You want to long for that eternal life. You want to long to that free gift that God gives you by just believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, and in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Back in the time where Jesus walked on the earth, in order for you to be saved, if you will, is to follow Jesus and to believe on him. Believe that he was the Son of God sent by the Heavenly Father. Amen. That's, you give it up. You give it all up to follow Christ. Okay? And today, you give it all up to follow Christ. Amen? You don't have the physical presence. You don't have him manifest in the flesh today. All you have is your faith. It is many times in the Bible where Jesus calls out our faith. And we should recognize that because we don't have as strong of a faith as you think that you might have. Okay? Just the faith of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. I don't see any of us moving mountains today. That's the littlest amount of faith that you have to have, and we can't even have that. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ, and you'll have everlasting life. That's the hope that we long for. That's the hope that we look to. Amen. John 14:6. The Lord says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This woman with an issue of blood, she touched any other man. She's seen many physicians. She's not seeking the way to eternal life. I'm the way, Jesus says. I'm the truth. This word of God is the truth. And I'm the life. Doesn't say the many physicians that you're going to seek is the way. They'll provide you the truth. And you'll have life. No, no. It's Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. That's it. That's it. If you have hope in anything else to give you life, if you have hope in anything else to give you happiness or whatever it is that you're looking for in this life, it will fail you. But if you look to Jesus Christ, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Humble yourself before God, and you'll be exalted, and you'll be lifted up, and in due time, amen? You get saved, it takes some time for you to get through some things in your life, amen? I got saved, and it took a couple of it took a while for me to get through some things in my life that I was going through. But I didn't need any psychiatrist to tell me that how to follow Jesus. Amen. All I needed was Jesus to tell me how to follow Jesus. And how do you find that? By believing on him, by believing on the gospel, by accepting him, by professing him. If you just call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. Amen. There's no test. There's no paying for it. There's nothing. It's free. It's a free gift. Why not accept that? Why not be humble enough? Why not just get the pride out of the way, get the man out of the way, and say, look it, I need you, Lord. I need your help. I'm coming on my hands and knees. I don't know what else to do. That's a humble hope. Amen. That's a humble hope. Going back to Mark. So she had heard of Jesus, came and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She recognizes that. This is the humble hope that she has, that this man, this physician, the great physician, the one who can heal her and only him can heal her, she understands that she just needs to get a little touch. All right? Verses 29 through 33. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. We see a confident faith. We have a humble hope, and we see a confident faith in her knowing that just touching the hem of his garment, she will be made whole. Now, this is the amazing thing here. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So we know what virtue is. It's goodness. It's purity. It's cleanness. Jesus was the perfect man. Jesus was pure. Jesus was good. All these things. And immediately, just by a little swipe, he perceives that that virtue has gone out of him. That cleanness has gone out of him. Well, where is that virtue going to? It's going to this woman to make her whole, to heal her. How much faith this woman must have had to know that by going and touching the Lord Jesus Christ himself, knowing what being unclean and with an issue of blood does to people, it makes them unclean. Imagine if she had gone to any other priest or any other person and touched him. They would flip. Okay, they would be beside themselves. They I don't know what they would do to her, but it would not be pretty. But she had enough faith. She was humble enough to understand that this man, by just hearing what he has done, if she go and touch him, she can be made whole. She can be made whole. And immediately Jesus knows it. Immediately Jesus knows the virtue that has gone out of him and has healed this woman. And again, just let me reiterate, he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter and makes point to stop with this woman to show us something. It's for our benefit here. And we'll get to the practical application in a minute, but it's for our benefit here. Her faith is rewarded by touching his garment. It's not the garment that healed her. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. We know, we should understand this. It's not the garment that heals anybody, but it's the virtue of Jesus Christ that heals her. Amen? It's the virtue. And when you're saved, when you believe on that precious blood, it's that cleanliness of Jesus Christ's blood that heals us, that makes us whole again. When you sin, you're unclean. You need to go to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me. You got to be bold. You got to be upfront with the Lord. Don't sugarcoat your sin, folks. Say, I've done this. I'm guilty of this. I need your precious blood to heal me of this. Amen. You can be saved and on your way to heaven, but need the Lord to make you whole every single day, multiple times a day. You need that virtue. You need to stay clean in order to serve him. You can't get saved and go and live your life without ever asking Jesus to forgive you again. Because that's not going to help other people. Your testimony is gonna be hurt your whole life. People aren't going to look to you and say, that man's different. She has confident faith. We'll continue to look at this. So Jesus, immediately knowing the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now he knows who's touched him, okay? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples struggled here, okay? His disciples struggled throughout the Gospels here. There are multiple times that Jesus tell them of his capture and death and resurrection. They didn't believe it. Multiple times, when Jesus went to wash the disciples' feet and Peter said, "No, you'll never wash mine," and all this, the disciples didn't. They had a hard time understanding what the Lord was teaching and what the Lord was trying to show them. But they still followed him. But here they say, and his disciples said unto him, verse 31, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" So there's all these people touching the Lord and trying to get at the Lord, and this one woman does, and his disciples are like, "You think we're going to find this person? You think we're going to understand who touched you?" Now in the next verse, Jesus says, "And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing." So the Lord wanted the disciples to understand and see how this woman just had the faith to touch him to be made whole. Just as the Lord performed these other miracles, I mean, how many times did the Lord say to his disciples, "Ye have little faith"? And this woman, who hasn't been following Jesus, who's just heard of him, who just wants to touch the hem of his garment so she can be clean and whole and just live her life in peace, gets it just like that. Why? The same reason that we stress in our life, or we think that we have financial trouble in our life, or we think that we're hurting in this life. Well, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't you have faith that he's going to get you through that? Shouldn't you have faith that he's going to heal you of that? Shouldn't you have faith that he's going to help your child? Shouldn't you have faith that he's going to help you pay that bill or get through that day? We're just as bad as the disciples in a sense of our faith. But this woman just touches the hem of his garment and is made whole. What faith she had, what confident faith she has. And we continue to see this here. In verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth." I don't know this kind of fear coming before the Lord, knowing that by touching him, you can make she probably thought that she was making the Lord unclean. She touched the Lord and he's unclean. That's why the virtue comes out of him to make her whole. Okay? Let me see here. She feared being rebuked by the Lord. Now we know today through his word that he's not going to rebuke her. He recognizes her faith. He recognizes her faith. Can you say today that God recognizes your faith? That's a question only you can answer. Does God recognize your faith today? So that would mean you'd have to go and examine your life, examine yourself, and say, "What am I doing for the Lord? How am I serving the Lord?" Well, good start. You're all here today. Amen. You're all here today wanting to receive something from God, wanting to understand his word a little more. All day we're going to hear about these miracles of the Lord. All day by the time you leave here tonight, if you're able to stay the whole day, your cup is going to be so running over. Your heart's going to be so full of joy and happiness. You're going to see a lot of things. You're going to understand a lot of things better. That should strengthen your faith. That should help you be a little more humble. That should help you understand what's at the end of this life when you die. If you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. If you believe on the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection, you believe on Jesus' blood to cleanse you of all sin, you profess before the Lord that he is the Savior, you will have that hope of eternal life. But this woman is healed and made whole by touching the hem of his garment. She has that confident faith to know that just touching it would make her whole. And again, it's not the garment that makes her whole. It's that faith in touching that garment is what heals her. It's the faith that she has in Jesus. It's the if she doesn't have faith in Jesus, she's just another one pressing and thronging on him. And Jesus just continuing and walking on. But he knew that virtue had come out of him. He felt that virtue come out of him to heal this woman. Amen. We have to understand that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look a little bit at faith. Hebrews chapter 11, you can call it the faith chapter, if you will. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And we go through this chapter, and you can see by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, you know, all these things. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let me start with the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't have Jesus Christ in the flesh. I've mentioned that before. So all we have is his word. But we have faith that there is a God. We have faith that he died for us. And we have faith that he's coming back again. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We didn't see these miracles before him. We just read of them. But we believe they happened. We didn't walk with the Lord on this earth. But we believe he died for us and rose again and is coming back for us. That's putting your faith in something you can't see. Amen? And you will be greatly, greatly rewarded by having faith in Jesus Christ. You might say, my life is in the dumps right now. But in reality, you just need to have a little more faith. You just need to have a little more faith. You think, I'm feeling sad today. Have a little more faith. I'm a little hurt today. Have a little more faith. I'm having a bad day at work. Just have a little more faith in Jesus. Amen. This woman, knowing that by touching Jesus, she could make him unclean, and the virtue came out of him and made her whole. Well, just a little prayer and having a little more faith in Jesus can make you whole. Forgive me of that sin, Lord. You're whole again. Create me a clean heart, it says in Psalm 51. Renew a right spirit within me. That's what we're doing when we come to the Lord and ask forgiveness and seek him. He's renewing that right spirit within us. Hebrews, I went, without faith is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That diligently seeking God is going to him every day, multiple times a day, seeking forgiveness of sin, seeking help in an area. Heal me of this. Help me with this project at work. Help me with my children. Help me with raising my children. Just diligently seeking God, understanding that you got to put God first in your life. Seek him first. Amen. Seek ye, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God first. Put your faith in God first. Have the most faith in God. Don't have faith in anything in this world because it gets you nowhere. Have the most faith that you can in God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. Amen. How much faith do you have in God? How much are you allowing God to work in your life? Are you allowing God to lead you in your life? How much faith do you have in him? If you allow God to work it, he's going to finish it. That enduring the cross that enduring the cross, I don't believe most of us today understand what he went through on that cross. We can have an idea. We can read about it, and we can pray about it. We'll never understand the pain. We'll never understand the hurt. We'll never understand everything that the Lord had to endure for us. We can't grasp that. And you should be ashamed that he had to do that. But it started all the way back with Adam. So wouldn't you say we also have an issue of blood? Wouldn't you say we also have an issue of blood? And wouldn't you say it's only Jesus Christ that can cleanse us and make us whole again? Amen. Amen. That's the application of this miracle here is we too have an issue of blood. We too need to be made whole. We too need to have a more humble approach and more humble hope. We too need to have a more confident faith. We have a very lacking faith. We don't have confidence a lot of the time in our faith for whatever reason. For whatever it is you're going through, we have different levels of faith. But it ultimately has to start and end with Jesus Christ. It has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to read Galatians chapter 2, and then I'll move on. Galatians chapter 2, starting verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, but I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. As I said before, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and we're following Jesus Christ. He lives inside of us. You got a king inside you, I heard preached once. Amen? You got a king inside of you. Okay? That's Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He is who you have faith in. He is who you look and hope to. Amen? It's Jesus Christ. In this world, in this body, because when you get to heaven, you're going to have a new body. But in this world, you have to serve the Lord. You have to serve Jesus Christ with the utmost faith and the utmost confidence in him. Amen? Let's go back to Mark. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. So we see here we have a humble hope. We see here we have a confident faith. And then lastly, we see here that we have a comforting peace. A comforting peace. Jesus recognizes the faith of this woman and sends her and says to her, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The words of our Savior saying, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Is what we long for every day. Peace and comfort. But if you're not going to the Lord, you're not seeking him first, you're not asking him for forgiveness, you'll never be comforted. You'll never go in peace. See, that's why we have all these things happen to us. You know, we have all these trials and tribulation. I believe we have less trials and tribulations if we just sought the Lord first in everything. There's some things we have to go through. But God's made it out on the other side, already knows the outcome. He's just waiting for you. That's why when you're in a trial and a tribulation in this life, you put more faith in God, you'll get through it quicker. You'll understand it quicker. It's not to hurt you. He loves you. But the reward here is you get to go in peace. You get to live a life. This woman gets to live a life free of that issue of blood. She doesn't have to worry about the next 12 years of being unclean, in a constant state of uncleanness, because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You here today don't have to live the next 12 years of your life unclean if you just go and confess your sin before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to cleanse you with his precious blood. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're only going to get comfort in this world if you take the burdens off of your shoulders and place them on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. There is billions of people in this world, and Jesus can bear billions and billions and billions of burdens. Amen. We limit God. God has no limits, but we limit him. We say, well, I can probably handle this one. This one's a little big. I'll give it to him, but I can handle this one. You got to give it all to God in order to have the peace and the comfort to live a life for Jesus Christ. You can't live a life for Jesus Christ if you're carrying all these burdens, if you're carrying your burden in your financial state, if you're carrying your burden in your job, if you're carrying your burden with your children, if you're carrying your burden with your home, whatever it is, if you're carrying it, it limits the comfort and the peace that you're going to have. You have to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor. And that all that ye that labor, you could be laboring in a sickness. You could be laboring in a trial. You could just be physical labor. There's a lot of different kinds of things that you can be laboring in. You just got to give it to the Lord to recognize and understand the peace and comfort of God. We labor in our sickness, in our sin. But if you don't want to labor in your sin, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you of it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is meek and lowly in heart. You know, it doesn't say we are meek and lowly in heart. It says I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. That rest, that comfort. Amen. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll look in verse 26. Read a little bit here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard of how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father did not leave us without. He did not leave us without. He gives us the ultimate comforter. He gives us the ultimate peace, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. We live our life through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in his guidance, in his direction, in his teachings, will he bring everything that Christ says into remembrance. Not all at once. You might be going through a problem, and there's a verse for that. You might be going through a sickness, and there's a verse for that. You might need help trying to figure out a project. There's a verse for that. You hear a lot of people say, show me chapter and verse to back something up. Well, if you're living your life for Jesus Christ, you'll never have a problem showing them chapter and verse to back something up. And if in an individual basis, you'll never be without something to back up what you're going through. You'll never be without, because Jesus Christ leaves us and sends us the Holy Ghost. The Father sends us the Holy Ghost. And peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There's nothing that's better than the peace of God. There's nothing better than the peace that Jesus Christ says he leaves us. John 16. Jesus to his disciples, verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. We are not alone today because Jesus Christ is with us. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's not a single thing in this life that hasn't been overcome by Jesus Christ already. There is not a single thing. There's things that I fear at work. There's things that I fear for my children, for my wife, for my family. There's things that I fear for our church back in North Kingstown. But it's not something that Jesus hasn't already overcome. It's not something that Jesus hasn't already overcome. So why fear? Why not have the humble hope in Jesus? Why not have the confident faith in Jesus? Why not have the comforting peace that Jesus provides to us? It's there. It's there for the taking. This woman with the issue of blood recognized that. She came humble. She came confident. And she left with comfort and peace. She left with comfort and peace. Real quick before I'm done. We were once unclean, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We need to have strong faith and confident faith, and we need to give it to the Lord so that we can go in peace. If you're not saved today, if you don't understand that Jesus Christ died for you, all you have to do is believe on his name. Believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. And you have to profess it. So if you don't understand that Jesus Christ died for you, you're going to live a life of destruction and turmoil. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to live a life of hope. You're going to long for the glory when you get to be home with the Father. Amen. We long for heaven in this life. We're saved. I long to be with the Father. I love my wife and I love my children, but I love Jesus Christ more. My wife loves me and our children, but she loves Jesus Christ more. If you find yourself loving something more than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have lost your faith in him. You have lost your comfort and peace in him, and you've lost your humility. So be humble, have strong faith and confident faith, and go in peace. Amen.